sunshine didn't cast away her innocence's burden.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to episode 45 of the Nitro Beer Beercast, and the word of the day is Moose Gook Magini.
Jesus Christ.
Just a Magini, man.
Oh, I remember the Maginis.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Oh,
that's... We're laughing with you now.
Yeah. That's
no, that's fine.
Old Nitro Beer jokes.
What day is it, Tyler?
Oh, don't. Oh, no, I got to hover over my time on my laptop. Thursday, June 30th, 2011. 2011, 11, whatever.
That's right.
11.
That's right. We have two. I'm Brian Belita. Mm-hmm. And Tyler is?
Me, because you said, Tyler, what date is, and I answered. That's me.
You introduced the next person.
Oh, and then, what do we got? The writer of Wallet Abuse Weekly.
Mark. Not so much weekly. No.
That's what you changed the title to. Wallet Abuse Mostly Weekly.
Aw, I can't believe we're giving him such a hard time. I haven't written anything in a long time.
Yeah, neither have I.
He's so consistent.
Or Wallet Abuse.
And he still wrote something. Even his thing where he's like, I'm not writing anything, was still something.
You produce content, like, automatically.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just that dedicated to my work. Anyway, I did have something clever. I did have a clever intro, so here's the clever intro. I'm Mark Bradshaw, and I'm boycotting Nintendo until all three versions of Shining Force 3 come to America.
Ah.
And Xeno Blade?
No, fuck that. I just want Shining Force 3.
Was that a Wild Imran Khan?
Da-da-da-da-da. I'm actually reading through my spam folder in my email, and I found something great.
It's the whole Nitro Beer gang. What's your spam?
Repeated the Emerald City life, have heard this great respect, until morning the Scarecrow found, repeated the Crooked Magician looked sad news.
I have heard this great
respect. You made that up. That's
I have one that's almost as good. Our product can make you brisk. We'll help your little soldier grow big. Order now.
Why are these written in haiku?
Yeah, a very peaceful. Oh, man.
Let's see. I got another one. Best Buy Viagra. That's six already. Generic online 10% discount.
Yeah, okay, wait. Generic online discount? Is that what that said?
Yes.
Just any yeah. old discount is fine?
Yeah. Or no, it might be. I might have split it up wrong. It might have been Viagra generic.
Okay.
And then online 10% discount.
Yeah, there you go. No, I like it better the first way.
And then I have one from Fashion Watches. Your symbol of elegance. Order now.
Oh no, that's something real. You're probably on the Nintendo newsletter thing. That's like the game they're publishing instead of any of those.
That's
three
a new
titles.
Virtual console game. Last week, and then I put tennis.
Why do I have French spam? What? Montre de marque de luxe de nom qui sont toujours abordables. Is that
those
abordables?
I
don't want to know what he just said about your mother.
Yeah. Something about aborting croissants, and it was very upsetting.
Obtenez votre modèle limité Philippe Patek Edition pour seulement 100 euros aujourd'hui.
I will tell you that how you said the generic discount thing. I used to live in Oklahoma, and all of the used car places would be called OK Used Cars. So I was like, yeah, they're OK.
Our cars are OK. Anyway, video games.
Yeah.
Speaking of used things, like video game sales, and we don't like that. And that was my segue to video games.
Ooh, I like used video game sales.
That's true. They're kind of nice. But I just don't...
That reminds me, what's the Project $10 on Shadows of the Damned?
What's that now?
Is there?
What's the Project $10 they put in Shadows of the Damned? Because I'm sure they put something, because it's EA.
Oh.
No, that's why it's been pretty much left to die. Because there's nothing they could do for it. You could got the soundtrack, like a short little soundtrack sampler.
Right.
It's
oh.
like 12 songs. It's that was the pre-order bonus.
Yeah, I think that's pre-order though.
I think Project $10 should have been charging $10 more, because I totally would have paid it. I'm a sucker. They're like, you get the game. That's it. There you go. I can't imagine. It'd be cool if there was, like, something weird, and then, I don't know, roster updates for characters in the game.
Roster updates?
you can download more Johnsons. There's, like, 1,000 new Johnsons.
Did you get the new 2011 dick gun?
Yeah. It's so bizarre that our industry is at such a spot that, like, if we just make a video game, then it won't sell because it needs something else. Like, no, we would sell you this book, but we can't sell you all 40 of these bookmarks to go with it, so we're not going to make the book. Like, that's so bizarre to me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's crazy when you're like, oh man, this game got delayed. But then it's like every week there's so many games coming out. I think it's like scary. Like just to sit back and
suck.
Like, all the digital games that come out every week, all the retail stuff that comes out, it's insane. It makes Mark's job a lot harder.
Yeah.
The past 2 months have sucked balls. But
this is the doldrum. This is the time when nothing comes out.
Right.
I don't understand it. It's like kids don't go outside anymore. I know kids. They don't do this. It's the world is on fire and it's burning. Okay? They're inside the air conditioning and they're eating their Cheetos and they want to play some fucking video games.
Yep.
See, I guess the logic is release everything around Christmas so parents buy it then.
Yeah.
But then everything got released too much around Christmas, so it like overflowed into the next part of the year. So we have to get stuff released way too much in Christmas, so we have further overflow in the summer.
Right.
So would it make sense that we get a bunch of games that are not targeted at kids during this time of the year?
It's weird because Resident Evil always does well in the summer. Yeah. Or in January or whenever, just not winter.
Yeah. And
now, I may have been gone. I spent the last five, or not the last 5 days, but from Thursday until Monday night in Las Vegas attending a stage fighting convention. But anyways, something about a Resident Evil game not letting you delete your save.
Right.
Yeah, that's a weird fucking DRM.
But that's not the first time it's happened.
Yeah, it's not the first time. It's just the first time it's happened in a game anyone cares about.
Yeah. And then I love how wishy-washy GameStop is about it. No, we will not stand for this. Well, actually, we'll stand for it. It's okay. Like, they literally the day after changed their mind.
You know what I think happened? I think they realized it didn't say it anywhere on the box. Thus, people would still buy it.
Yeah,
exactly. Right.
Yeah.
Like, when have they given a shit?
So will they still...
If GameStop didn't say anything, fewer people would know about it, and they would have sold more copies.
No, I would argue if Kotaku didn't say anything about it.
Mm. So will they still buy back copies of Resident Evil? Like,
yes.
Oh, God.
For dirt
cheap. Probably at super cheap prices, and they'll probably sell them for, like, $30.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That reminds me, Duke Nukem Forever, because you know, every once in a while I go to like Cheap Ass Gamer and check like the reports on like how much money people are getting for returns. Mm-hmm. Duke Nukem Forever is getting $18 back.
Yeah,
that seems too generous.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is, a brand new game, this is the way it works. A brand new game, if you get it for $60 and literally walk outside the door and somehow forget your receipt, come in and trade it in, it's worth $25.
Yeah.
And the reason why they do it so low is so they can be like, oh, if you get our cool 10% card, bro, we'll give you 10% more. Like, that's – they do it so low so they can sell you a card to bump it up to an actual – not even a good price, but, like, you know, a more reasonable price.
Up here, there was a weird promotion. Up here is Canada for our listeners.
And Antarctica.
Up here, the EB Games had this this promotion where if you bought a game, it was Select Games. It was a couple years ago. They stopped doing it for obvious reasons, which I'll get to. They had a promotion where if you bought a game and you trade it in within a week, they gave you the full retail value of it back. They gave you your $60 right back.
Yeah.
And one of the games they did it on, and I believe it was the last, was Haze. And they did it on Haze, and it was like, it must have been just a tank, and it was like, they got destroyed.
So it was like a free rental week, basically.
It was like a free, it is, it's like a free rental, but it works out for them, except when the game is Haze, and then no one wants it after that week anyways.
Hey.
I remember they used to do that with all games back in like the mid-90s. You could just buy the game and then finish it and return it. And at some point, they were like...
They never catch on.
Yeah, once they finally realized, hey... This is a huge money loss for us. They stopped that.
Right.
But I remember specifically doing that with, like, I can't remember the game. It was some shitty acclaimed that I've ended before.
Oh. Was it Dave Mirra?
It might have been. Oh, it was BioBreaks.
Oh, God.
Classic.
Because I was like,
you know what I want to really get
my cousin's
right
coming over, and I want a game to play, so I figured I'd just rent that. And we both hated it.
I think Brian was gonna defend Haze.
Brian. No, I was just going, hey.
Oh, you're insulted. Hey.
No, oh God.
You know what publishers should do? They should have an agreement with like GameStop and the rest, where they can still do that 7-day thing, but if like they get a ton of returns, GameStop or the guys who sold them the games will force the publisher to buy back those games.
That used to actually be the way it was done, because they worked in the shop. It worked a lot like a rental store. Like, you would pay a reduced price to get multiple copies of a certain title in, but now they pay for it. Now you literally pay like $60 to sell a game at $60. That's why new games don't make any money anymore. But it used to be that way that you're talking about, Mark. And like, here, we're going to send you 400 copies of Madden 2001. I remember this like crazy. We're going to send all these. And then if you don't sell them, you can box them back up, send them back to the publisher. They write you a check for like 45% less. And then you still get money out of it, but that way you don't have a bunch of bullshit in your store.
Well, I'm thinking like if you do this, then the companies would be forced to like develop games that you don't want to like get rid of in a week. Right. So maybe there'd be some monetary some kind of inducement for the companies to produce better games, not stuff that you can beat in 6 hours.
Right.
What I bet's going to happen is soon we're going to start getting games with like the Rockstar Pass and so forth put with the actual game for like a $10 extra fee. So that way they keep the game, and then they get the extra $10 they would have paid for the Rockstar Pass anyway.
I want to know if you guys would buy Resident Evil Mercenaries 3D, knowing this information. Are there any of you guys that wouldn't do it?
I'm not going to buy it anyway, because fuck it, there's no Leon.
Like, I don't know. I mean,
shit.
Right. If I heard it was a good game, I'd be fine with buying it. I mean, really, the only thing you're worried about doing your saves if you're reselling it.
It's a fan service game that doesn't have a lot of the best and most famous characters in the series.
Right. And arguably, it's a time attack game. That's all it is. It's like Excitebike. You play the same levels over and try to get a better score, and that's really it. So the weird thing is the outcry that people are having, like, you can't delete your save, man, is like, well, for this game, who the fuck cares? It's not like there's a 50-hour campaign. All it is a score attack mode.
Well, yeah, that would really suck in, like, Revelations or something.
Yeah, if it was in Revelations, I'd be pissed. But
you kind of also kind of wonder if just testing the waters with this thing, if like Revelations comes out and it does have this because it worked.
Well, I feel like the whole game is like incepted from an idea that like in a Capcom boardroom, I think Jeremy Paris said this, they sat down and said, what can we get away with this time?
Yeah.
That's true. And I mean, and whenever I heard that, oh, you can't delete your game, so once you have the game, it's yours forever, I was like, man, I've been a PC gamer for a decade, bro. Like, I can't resell my PC games. So,
you know what
would
probably work a lot better than what they're doing? If, like, this Mercenaries was instead, like a bonus part of another far better video game, I kind of thought maybe it would work like that.
Oh, that would never work.
What
no,
are you
they
talking
would
about?
Never ever do that before.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good silly.
I don't mind the idea of pulling the game out and fleshing it out and making something bigger out of it.
Right.
But they did was just pull the game out and put more characters in.
Yeah.
And apparently Resident Evil 5 environments, right? That's what I've noticed in the videos.
Yeah.
They're like all environments from existing copies of Mercenaries.
Yes. And
that's the problem. Like, it would have been cool if they went back to like Resident Evil 1 Mansion or the police house.
Yeah, kind of a director's cut, like best of compilation of all these different places you know, and do it fan service that way. Like, that'd be pretty cool. But the game itself looks super nice.
That would also require work.
I did play a friend's copy for a few hours, and it plays really well. And I mean, everything about the game is really good. I just don't think there's enough game there.
Well, you know what? In Mercenaries defense, there are unless there were changes in RE5 because I'm not familiar with Mercenaries in RE5. But there's like they have like a perk system that you can unlock things a pork system and a perk system. They go
both.
They work together. They did a lot of work.
Pork
they did a
is
lot.
A perk.
Be fair, they did a lot of work.
That's true.
No, it's like
this
a perk system. It's like, you know, like stuff like, oh, the shotgun shoots 3 times damage, but handguns do 2% less, just stuff like that.
Right.
So there's like, some layers that have been added to the formula. So it's not entirely just ripped out of like RE5 and put on a 3DS
card. That's correct.
I'm still interested in the title. I mean, I don't do a lot of used game trading anyways. The most recent stuff I did was like, all of a sudden, I just like woke up. and I realized that I don't need military shooters in my life, and somehow, like hype and people just loving these franchises, like, got into me. So I have two Call of Duties, and I had both bad companies, and I just was like, I'm not gonna play these because I don't play a lot of online stuff, so I trade those in. But otherwise, I don't really trade stuff in. So I mean, this is my title anyway. Like with Mercenaries, like that's the stuff I would want as I unlocked it. But I can't imagine if you bought it used and you're like, oh, here's everything. It's kind of hard to be like, well, okay, well, I'll go back to stage one, turn off all the perks, and then as I open, I'll open them up myself. It makes things complicated, but then it's like, I don't know. I don't think, like, is it in Capcom's interest? I think it's interesting. I think it's a perfect title for them to take a chance on because I think that the investment is low. So if they see that this thing bites them in the ass and that because places like EB Games give you no trading value and people don't want to buy the game used, if that's a bad way to go, then they may not go that way in the future or kind of stick it to these kind of titles.
Right, exactly.
And not like single player adventure kind of things. I always worry about if there was something weird, some weird problem, the game crash, and then you need it. I don't know.
Yeah, like the game's actually faulty and.
Yeah, I don't know.
Apparently it makes a backup save, so you can't even like pull the copy out while it's saving.
Yeah.
So I feel like this is either really customer-oriented or incredibly sleazy. It's one of those two.
I'm not going to be able to sleep. My serious will be beside me to turn off, and I'll be like,
does it say anything
right
about
now?
That, like, in the manual? Or
yeah,
anything?
It says, there's a little at the end says game data cannot be reset.
So it's not by some chance just like a fuck-up or something, which would be hilarious.
Though they did try to, like, pass it off as, oh, you can't delete data that's on a 3DS card, which isn't true.
Yeah.
But, it like, the way they're phrasing their statements kind of makes it sound like they're trying to say that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess, like, what I think is, like, both parties don't want to upset each other. So, like, GameStop is like, we're not going to take trade-ins, and the next day, like, well, we'll take trade-ins. I think that there could have been some talk of Capcom being like, you'll receive less titles or less copies of our titles, and then Capcom is afraid to come out and write, say, yes, it's to combat used game sales, because that's, you know, stepping on GameStop's turf, and they sell their titles, they'll order less.
Yep.
So it's like this weird game they're playing with each other. It's
so
ridiculous.
How many, like, new games the games like GameStop really push versus, like, Best Buy or Walmart?
Well, GameStop actively wants to not sell new games.
Well, no,
that's what I'm thinking. Do they even want these? Why keep selling them things?
No, that's not necessarily true. GameStop really does want to sell new games so you can trade it back in. That's the only reason that they push reserve so hard. Because if they didn't care about new games, then why the fuck would we reserve anything? You know, I mean, why would they push it to every person through the door?
I'll rephrase it. They don't want to have a large stock of new games like Best Buy or Walmart.
Right, correct.
They don't want to sell you games that you order beforehand.
Yes. They want your money up front to guarantee that it's going to... Yeah.
What I'm trying to figure out is how important GameStop is to the new game, like, retail industry. How much would a Capcom really miss if they decided, you know what, fuck it, we're tired of GameStop shit, let's cut them out.
A surprising amount.
I used to go to GameStop, you know, all the time when I was in high school or whatever. I haven't gone in, like, I don't know. I haven't been to a GameStop in at least 3 years. Mm-hmm. Maybe four.
I go to GameStop simply because they're, like, really convenient to find out-of-print, like, stuff.
Yeah.
It's like if I want to find, like, PN product number 3 for the GameCube, mm-hmm. if I don't want to go to eBay, I want to go to GameStop because I want to, like, you know, go out and find a copy.
Right. And
so,
yeah, they do have some like used game gems occasionally, true.
Yeah, but even nowadays, the way they do their used game criteria, like, oh, you traded in a DS game? Great, we don't need this box or manual or anything, and they just fucking throw it away. And so it's really bizarre,
here's a cartridge in a plastic bag.
And they'll charge you $3 less than a fucking new copy of it. It's outrageous. Like, what they are doing is criminal. And I used to work for them. For 4 years, I used to own a store with this company when they were Fortune 250, like, the works. But now they're fucking despicable, man. They were always pretty bad, but now they're just getting outrageous. But the thing is, they want to get new products in the store to bring you into the store. That way, whenever you see something used, you're like, next time I come in, I'll buy that. Because then you already made up your mind subconsciously that you're coming back to the store. Or like, oh, while they're in with a new game, I'm going to buy a bottle of water. Because we mark up our bottled water 400%.
GameStop is a store I go into when I have $15. I'm like, I wonder what I can buy for.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a good store for that because you guys are right. You'll never know what you're gonna find.
You know what's an even better store for that?
Amazon?
Steam store.
Fucking shit!
I get the prize. I get the weekly $100.
What?
Wait, where? From who?
Where you guys just getting $100? What does he get?
What do I get?
Wait, just me.
A free copy of Nimbus.
I have 12 Metstick.
Do we want to talk about Steam right now?
Yeah, let's talk about Steam right now. So,
I'm going to zone out and look through like the Evo rankings.
Oh, that's fine. That's fine. Right. So Steam. First off, Gabe, and Valve, I love you. Second off, Steam kicked off their summer sale, and they kind of did the same thing that they did with the whole Portal 2 launch potato deal. So a bunch of the games that they have on sale each of these days have different kind of tickets that you can earn by completing various achievements in the games. And you can then exchange these tickets for in-game content from other things. So you can get like, you can spend three, everything's three tickets. Yeah. So you can spend three tickets.
And people call GameStop a scam. Jesus. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, but this is a good scam. This is a fun scam. Because I already own a lot of it, but anyways. So you can spend like three tickets and, you know, get five new levels for Reckless Disregard for Gravity. You can get a new level on Magicka. You can get, you know, sunglasses in TF2. You can get a snorkel for your robots in Portal 2. So, yeah, it's wall of rape season.
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah, it is.
Let the wall of rape commence.
And now I'm, like, concerned because I'm sure Witcher 2 is going to come up on the final day deal, but
maybe,
you know, you can never be 100%
right,
sure.
Maybe, like, yeah. Usually the best thing to do about Steam sales is if you see something on sale and it's a pretty good one, like 75% to 80% off, just buy it. Odds are, if it's a big title, it'll be on the last day recap anyway. But you never know. Like,
and
you
never buy regular sale items until the last day.
Right. Like
if something's not a daily deal, just hold off until the last day, and it could be a daily.
Correct.
Deal.
Yeah. We need to make like a, you know, those like Pawn Stars type shows. We need to make a deal like that where we like coach people on how
Steam
to buy things.
Stars.
Oh, but seriously, speaking man, Dawn of War is only half off. It's half off, and that's the only fucking game I wanted in the sale.
Wait until Dawn of War gets full price and then buy it. Support Relic.
Well, no,
is
Relic
it a daily deal or is it like a total deal?
Well, I mean, it's Retribution, which is the basically the newest Dawn of War title. It has 9 campaigns, has full multiplayer support, has all this DLC stuff in the pack, all of it, and it's $14 instead of $30.
Look at what Steam has done to us.
I know.
If you saw this game at GameStop and it were like your only option, you would buy it for $14.
Yeah,
but look, we're like Steam. It's like, I don't know. $14 is a little pricey compared to like Resetir that's $5.
Yeah, and see, and the thing, which is crazy to me is. Like, okay, I own every single Dawn of War game. Every single one, except Retribution.
Buy Retribution.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's what Gabe
and... The developer is eating cat food.
Yeah. Like, I will eat so much beef and ramen.
Oh, yes. No, beef, just ramen. You don't even get the flavor packet.
Or no, like, I'll actually make beef. Like, I'll get a ground sirloin and put it in a skillet.
Real quick, speaking of Witcher 2 again. So, I started up Witcher 1. Mm-hmm. And I find myself losing complete interest at about this exact same point. Like, I go to that first town, Vizima or whatever, and I'm escorting this girl to her thing and killing dogs, and I'm just like, this is kind of boring.
Yeah.
But that said, I kind of want to get Witcher 2 because I feel like it does things a little different and, like, hold my attention better.
Witcher 2 paces itself better. And you
so, feel- okay. So I made us completely skip Witcher 1, maybe watch an LP or something.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, you don't even need it. Hell, there's a pack that I think it comes with Witcher 2. You can read about what happens in Witcher 1 inside the game. So
So I may do that because, like I said, I was kind of losing interest.
Yeah. Witcher 2 is a lot more streamlined, but not necessarily in the bad way. As like, oh, they made it console-ified. It's stupid.
Like, no. I like the mechanics and stuff, and like, oh, cool, you learn potions and whatever. But yeah, just the pacing, I don't know. It was just.
I mean, it's still a very slow burn.
Yeah.
So, but it's more so with the story. But I agree with the first one. It was a slow burn for everything. It was like, good job, Witcher. And you're like, I wonder if they're going to tell me what a Witcher is. But they never fucking do. And you're like, that's the name of the game.
Read the book.
Yeah, well, the book's... yeah, everyone should read the book because it's fantastic, but...
Well, that, and I think I killed the girl I was escorting because I was doing, like... I was doing, like, the group combat, and she's, like, right up on me. She's right up on me, and I'm trying to kill these fucking dogs surrounding her. But then they just did her in, and I was just like,
Did you yell at her? Were you like, that's your own fucking fault, Mike, did you?
I did, and then I looted her body.
Oh, God. I'll take these coins,
I think to escort someone was actually where I stopped in Witcher 1. Because, like, I got to this island, and immediately as I got on the island, the guy like, oh, I need you to escort me here. And it was fine, because all you're fighting is, like, some drowners and stuff like that. Then all of a sudden, there's just, like, this bitch plant that will not die and will kill you in, like, two hits. Yes, it was a bitch plant. That was the actual scientific name.
It's, you know, taxonomic name. Bitches plantus.
Right, so, well, I guess real quick, we mentioned this team, so we might talk about it more later. But, so real quick, we can talk about what we've been playing, like, a game, or maybe two.
Yeah. You want to go first, Belita?
Sure. Well, as I had mentioned, The Witcher 1, which I just deleted from my Steam.
You liked it so much you deleted it from your computer.
Yep, about that. I've been playing some Champions Online just because my brother was playing it and it was free to play.
I have a question about that. I see mixed things. Like, I haven't played it yet and I know it's free to play, so I could just... But do you create your own character in the free-to-play version?
Yes.
You can? Because I've heard you had to use, like, a preset thing.
Oh. You don't mean, like, what kind of spandex you're wearing?
I don't know.
Okay. Okay. You can customize the visual appearance of your character. Yeah, absolutely. You can buy, like, extra packs using the in-game currency or whatever, but you have to, you know, spend real money on that in-game currency. So visually, yes, you can customize your own character. But they're in the free-to-play version, there are set... archetypes.
Right.
So, like, if you go, you know, you can pick the blade, and so you have to go all blades. But you can't, like, mix and match your powers. So you can't do, like, blade and guns, where in the pay version, you can, like, you can completely pick, like, from 18 different power sets or something.
Right.
So in the free-to-play version, no, you have, like, I think 8 different archetypes that you can pick from. So there are a lot that are missing, but you can buy individual ones. If you want to, like, one-off. Or you can, I guess, pay each month and then you just get everything.
Right, like a VIP pass type of thing.
Yeah, exactly. But aside from that, it's all right. I still much prefer City of Heroes.
Yeah, I was about to say, because you're like...
And there it goes. Yeah, no, I played City of Heroes so long. Like, and I don't know, just Champions, just the mechanics, I don't know. There's some stuff about it that I just don't like. Like, the map system is retarded. Like, your waypoint... It is. I'm sorry, I hate to use that word. And my wife's going to smack me. But it just is like you zoom out and like waypoints on your map disappear. So you have to zoom way in to find them. Ugh. When you zoom way in, you then have to drag around fucking everywhere to find them. Yeah. So it's the maps. It's just these little things. And I don't know. So, but now the City of Heroes is going free to play. And since I guess I had already played, apparently you keep all your veteran rewards and slots and stuff. So, and your characters. Tyler. What's up?
I was teasing.
Oh, all right, buddy.
I made a nerd laugh when you were talking.
Okay. but like I said, it's free to play. I was playing it with my brother, and it's fun. But right, okay, the one thing I wanted to talk about, and the last time this happened was with Super Quick Hook on my iPhone.
Right.
And when that came out, my iPhone ceased to be a phone, and it became a device that allowed me to play Super Quick Hook.
Your Super Quick Hook console?
Yes, exactly, and this has happened again, and it really, by all means, shouldn't, but I'm so hooked. I am seemingly completely addicted to a game called Tiny Tower on the iPhone, which is made by this developer Nimblebit, which is like a set of brothers. They put out some other really small, really clever games, and this game is freemium. You don't need to spend money any whatsoever, but it's basically, it's like a... tower building management sim. So, like, you build residencies, you get quote-unquote bitizens instead of citizens. They're like bitizens. And it's got gorgeous arts and pixel arts, and you flip buildings and manage stock. And I'm horribly addicted to it, and I can't explain it. Like, I normally don't go for these things, but it's amazing.
It's so bizarre how those little games, man, can just
Well, it's perfect. It's like pick up and play. Like all I need is like 5 minutes here and there. Like I load it up. I go, oh, I'm evicting your ass because you're not pulling your weight. I'm a dick landlord, man.
You know what you should do? You just called the game perfect. So get a hold of the guys and be like, can Nitrobeard have the box quote? And be like, tiny, tiny tower perfect, says Brian Belita from Nitrobeard.com.
Yeah, if they sold it in boxes.
Oh, no. You have to say, like, tiny tower is big on fun.
It's big on fun. Yeah, there you go. No, that's perfect. Yeah, so like you earn coins and you earn bucks, BUX, and you use them for different things and you stock your rooms and you can choose if you want to build like service or whatever. And anyways, go look it up. It's like I said, I can't explain it, but I just load it up like 5 minutes every 5 minutes. I'm looking at it right now. Yeah. So if you have an iPhone, iOS device, go check it out. And you'll find yourself.
iPhone, or if you have a super quick hook device.
They are one and the same, Tyler.
Oh,
it's like, don't you know anything about video games? I'm just kidding. But yeah, so that's what I've been playing. Not much else. I don't think so.
Cool.
No. Yeah. Over to you, Wes.
Oh yeah.
Oh, and Nimbus.
Dang.
Of course.
He got you, Tyler. He got you.
This fifth player.
Got your number, bitch.
Bitch. But,
oh man, I gotta pick up my face. It's on the ground.
I don't know what that means. But odds are probably next week I'll talk about how much of Dawn of War Retribution I've been playing. But I don't own it yet, so I can't say. But the one game I do want to talk about, because it fucking blew me away, Toys R Us right now is having a sale on 3DS games. And you can get $40 3DS games for like $15.99 or $14.99, something like that.
What?
And, you know, it's a lot of the launch titles, so, you know, give or take some of the quality. But then...
So you mean all of them?
Well, I wouldn't say that, because I picked up Ghost Recon, and I was like, okay, this is like a turn-based strategy game, like Front Mission. I was like, this is actually kind of cool. You know, this is a cool idea. And I looked at who created the game, and it was the fucking XCOM UFO defense team.
Yeah!
All of them. It was everyone that worked on that game fucking worked on a 3DS handheld strategy game. And I was like, are you kidding me? Because it was them, and it was part of the team that made Syndicate. And I was like, are
nice.
You? Yeah. I'm like, holy shit. And it plays so well, man.
And it's funny because at Ubisoft's E3 conference, they teased this like HD turn-based strategy Ghost Recon game that was like, what, their, oh, games are so crazy back in the day, but they just released that game on 3DS.
Oh, it looks so good. Like, it plays really well. You have a gunner and an engineer and medic, and it plays exactly like XCOM. You go in, it's kind of a map, you can zoom out, kind of see, okay, who am I going to send in? Am I going to send my sniper up here to perch this? And you unlock different perks and abilities, and you can level up your people and their weapons and their loadouts, and yeah, it's outrageous. All the reviews I've seen said it can go for like 65, 70-hour game saves, which is
nice.
Nuts, for especially
the price
15
is basically
bucks.
Collapsed everywhere, yeah. Like Amazon had it for super cheap lately.
Yeah, and it's a good game. Like, it's actually a really solid game. I only own two games. I own Zelda and Ghost Recon, and they're both fucking fantastic. Uh-huh. So
I ended up. I don't want to doom you. Sorry, Imran. Go ahead.
I ended up buying Zelda because when I bought my 3DS from Amazon, mm-hmm. you had $25 off any launch game, and I just never used it. So I ended up convincing the Amazon CS rep, oh, I thought it meant any game, period.
They took pity on you, or how did you manage to do that?
I mean, I think they just believed me that I thought it meant any game.
That's so awesome.
So they gave me $25 bucks on Zelda.
This man is clearly an idiot. Let's give him a game.
That's the least we could do. But man, Zelda's hot shit. It was hot shit 13 years ago, and it's hot shit now.
It stopped being hot shit 13 years ago.
Yeah.
Hot shit making a bounce.
No, and
well, if you want to discuss it at large, Imran, we can, because then I can comment.
Oh, I haven't actually gotten the copy yet. It's supposed to be still in the mail.
Oh, yes, Amazon. That's not a store.
No.
Oh.
Though if it one day is, then I'm basically moving all my retail stuff to them.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Two. I think the only other game I've played that I could mention is Forsaken World, that other free-to-play MMO that's on Steam.
Oh, yeah.
That was dirty.
And?
It is a guilty pleasure.
Like, it is one of those that the game is not good, but for some reason I can't stop playing it. Because I don't even have to really play it. I think I mentioned this before, but...
Yeah, you did, yeah.
Whenever you get a quest, and it gives, like, the name of the quest giver, and then the name of the thing you have to kill or collect is in highlights, and you just click on the highlight, and your guy automatically runs to it. I don't even have to fucking play the game. It's great. It's my favorite. Out of all the games.
Forsaken Worlds, a game you should not forsook. Wes
Nitrobeard.com. Only exclusive Nitrobeard.com.
Now, I wanted to say about Ghost Recon, at launch, it was like that the Ubisoft titles, but especially that one, they got a lot of flack for, they would crash or they would hang.
Yeah.
Are you having any of those issues or no?
I haven't really seen any. The 3D kind of sucks, but it's not like I bought, oh, I want to get this game made by the Syndicate guys, but only if it has the 3D function. Like, that's the
3D.
last thing on my mind.
Yeah, well, that's good, because it was always like kind of like a thing where they're like, if Ubisoft, corrected the mistakes and fixed it in a future cartridge printing, if that was something that would happen. So it's possible that happens.
It really seems to me, I don't think it'll get the cult status that Advanced Wars did, but didn't Advanced Wars come out like a launch title with the GBA? And then
it came out in 9/11. I remember because I actually went to go pick up the game that day.
Oh shit!
And the guy gave me like the dirtiest look when I asked for the title.
See, don't you know the world stopped? We're in a real advanced.
It's
kind of
weird for
now,
like a brown guy to walk into a GameStop and be like, "Give me Advance Wars."
Are you using this train?
Get your tanks out, bro. Line them up in a line.
So it does. Does it look like something that should have been on the 3DS, or look like, is there?
It's a DS port. It's a very obvious DS port.
Yeah, and the thing is, I mean, the DS has, or the 3DS has really good graphics capabilities. Like, it's a more advanced portable Dreamcast in a way, and I mean, this doesn't push any boundaries. But dude, it's the Syndicate guys. Like, whenever I got it, I was like, this could be literally just pixels that had no animation at all and just a grid, and I'd probably be a blast. But
I wonder if people will pick up the new XCOM and be like, this isn't like Ghost Recon at all.
The fact they made it a first-person shooter, I don't know.
I don't know, maybe Mark wants to go next.
Yeah, you want to go for it, Mark?
No, well, the thing is, I'm kind of in this weird state where I really want to buy Shadows of the Damned, but I can't justify buying Shadows of the Damned yet because, you know, it's not low enough price. So I don't want to buy anything yet because I feel bad about not buying Shadows of the Damned.
Right,
I'm not buying anything.
You should feel like
shit. So what I'm doing is I'm playing, like, fucking Gymcraft. Like, hours of Gymcraft. And I feel dirty doing this.
What? So you have to decide where to put the exercising mats and the
yeah. No, Gymcraft. It's
oh, Gym.
Gym, as in the 80s cartoon singers.
See, I thought you meant like jump rope and popcorn and things.
I just thought you meant like a guy named
no,
Jim.
That's disgusting. I wouldn't do something like that. That's
or some sort of like Warcraft spinoff with some sort Connect of
World
southern
of
man
Gymcraft.
Named Jim.
It's a blatant tower defense game, and it's just, I feel, I'm playing it right now, and I feel horrible doing this, but I can't stop. I think this is what heroin addicts.
Yeah,
feel
it was
like
you just announced
yourself in the mirror.
You just announced to the world you're masturbating on the podcast, essentially. Like,
this is exactly how you can play up to level 20.
I actually have like WoW accounts that I stopped playing years ago. I can't. You know, the thing is, WoW, you can either play WoW or you can do anything else with your life.
Yeah. We're learning
I loved WoW.
We're learning a lot of dark secrets about the Radshaw today.
Yeah, there was a period when I played EverQuest and then went to Dark Age of Camelot. Ooh. And then I went right into WoW.
Good man.
So there's a 10-year period where this is virtually all I did.
Right.
So yeah,
feel about that is pretty much exactly how I feel about Tiny Tower.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah,
teeny weeny.
So now that my shame is known, let's go on with something else.
Okay, I'm last.
Wait, what?
And what about games? Huh? Games talk about. What is it? Nothing's changed for me. I'm still playing Ocarina of Time 3D. But now that I've played a bit longer, I'm inside of Jabu Jabu.
yeah, you are.
The Weird Fish. Oh God, I'm so glad to be in there finally.
What is going on?
It's really fun. It's what I'm liking about it is like it's so sounds much more especially with the 3D on, like the level like pulses around you and like it, you see like it's like throbbing and like bubbling in different areas. Like it's so bizarre. It's awesome. And this is not funny. It's awkward.
It's this weird like vaguely psychosexual description of Jabu
like
Jabu.
It. Yeah. Seems like it. Maybe like, that's what they intended all along.
It's Jabu Jabu.
He's a whale.
Ish thing.
A whale. A sperm whale. You see what
hot.
I did there?
Who for some reason has a chest with a boomerang inside him.
Yeah.
Inside of him?
You know, it's basically just the retelling of the Bible. So.
Yeah, right. Oh. That's all Ocarina of Time is.
The that time that is Noah found us. Who was it that actually got eaten by the fish?
Jonah.
Oh, wait.
Jonah.
Is that right?
The time
okay,
he found
good.
A fish girl inside.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, he found a whale, got eaten by it, and found Jesus' love inside the whale. And wait.
Wait, wasn't that Pinocchio?
Yeah.
Pinocchio, what?
That was Pinocchio.
What?
He didn't find Jesus' love inside a whale.
No, Ocarina of Time Pinocchio. 3D is cool. And but now that I've said some positive things, I have to, like most modern-day reviews, I now have to say the negative
this,
things.
But this?
And what I'm finding is that with on the 3DS is strangely enough I'm missing things that were in things like Phantom Hourglass or Spirit Tracks, which is like blasphemous. Like people, you're supposed to hate those titles, I think. But like for starters, you can't draw on the map, which I know. Like I guess if you did that, it wouldn't be faithful to like the S64 port, and it has to be in every way. But I think that would really help it out a bit, like just right. it's just for quick notes and stuff like that. Like certain areas where like, oh, there's a stone here that I want to get a fairy out of, or this is where this area is, or just stuff to remember, right? But they don't let you do that. I find that in general, it's not as strong a portable title as I'd like. My issue with where portable games are heading right now is like things like the Vita and you know, it's just the 3DS does it too, obviously. Like I'm saying, but it's just these games where they're clearly not thinking of it being a portable title. Like, here's a grand adventure that's from a console and you're playing in your hand. Isn't that what you want? That's what you want, I think. And it's not. Like, I still want these games that are for portables. Like, Ocarina of Time, if you are anywhere in the overworld, if you save and quit, and when you restart, you're back in your home little hut in the sky, in the tree.
Right.
And then you have to like trek all the way back to Hyrule Castle. So as port, and maybe you don't have enough power or whatever just to put it to sleep. And you have to save it and turn it off. Well, if you do that, you start back in there and you have to trek all the way back. And it's not really that far, but I think because it's portable in nature, I only have, maybe I only have 5 or 10 minutes. And now that I'm running all the way back to Hyrule Castle, well, there's 3 minutes of my 10 minutes gone, or 3 minutes of my 5 minutes gone. Yeah. And it's such an inconvenience. And I'm surprised, because titles like Spirit Tracks, like whatever town you entered or whatever house you exited last, like if that's where it would save.
Right, exactly.
You never have to worry about that. And now it seems like it's like a regression, and it's like really disappointing. I didn't like that. The first time it happened, I was like, what am I doing here? Did the game start over? This is a joke. It was crazy. But also,
hey, speaking of crazy,
yes, me.
Alice Madness Returns.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, that game is long.
Is it really?
Like, really like, fucking long.
Like good or tedious?
It's kind of both, but it's really like I'm 12 hours in, and it says I'm like 50% of the way through, which I'm not sure is an accurate number, but it's still really long because I'm just playing
like
12 hours.
Is there like extra or bonus stuff that would count for more percentage and you could finish the game?
It's a linear platformer, so I'm not sure how. Maybe it's counting like the stuff I'm collecting on the side.
Hmm.
But I can't imagine. It's just, it's not as bad a game as reviewers have been saying. Yeah. And I honestly can't
imagine. I don't know what reviewers have been saying.
They've been accusing it of being like entire, like a 2003 game made in 2011, which to some extent is true, but it's still a pretty decent platformer. It's still pretty enjoyable. I put up a video last night on NitroBeard about just how different the art styles can be from place to place, and that was only like maybe the two videos are about an hour apart in terms of game time.
Really? Right. Yeah, that was a pretty...
It really looked a lot like what they're trying to do with El Shaddai, too, which is still pretty neat that they're already doing it.
Yeah, and it just...
It was actual gameplay, because the thing that looked to me that... The actual gameplay, like fighting, looked really stilted and stiff.
It's not stiff. It's annoyingly unplanned. Like, I don't think they thought enough about how this fighting system should work. Like, a basic idea of video game development is if you're going to have a lock-on system, the enemy you're locking on is the center of the camera, and you circle shape around them. Alice doesn't do that. So when you lock onto somebody, they'll be there. They'll be in the camera, but you won't circle around them. And occasionally, they'll just move right in front of you, or enemies will attack you from off the camera, and it's far better to just not lock on. And that shouldn't be, that should not, that's a tenet of game design that if it's better to not lock on without it being an actual mechanic, then you've messed up somewhere.
You have to build the game around the lock-on mechanic, basically.
Right.
And
it's annoying because you'll get enemies that will just strike you from out of nowhere because the enemy AI doesn't work together. Like in most games, let's take Ninja Gaiden Black, for example. If two enemies are attacking you at once, it's because those enemies are designed to do that.
Right.
In Alice, if one enemy attacks you and it does this little zoom, slow down thing where you dodge an attack, for some reason it'll push you right into another enemy's attack.
Ugh.
And you wind up getting ping-pong between them until you eventually die?
There have been issues where I've been stun-locked and it's been really annoying, and eventually I can get out, because they give you a copious amount of health. But it's annoying that sometimes I will die and it doesn't feel like it's my fault. The game is very anti-boss fight as well. Like, it'll just... No chapters will just end with fights against regular enemies. And it's not fun, really, because you've been facing these same regular enemies through the entire way.
Right. Well, do they present, like, these regular enemy fights in a novel way? Or at least,
no,
like...
you go somewhere and enemies pop up.
Oh, that sucks.
Where the game is actually fun is just flying around and jumping on platforms and seeing different art and hearing different music. And, like, in that sense, it's actually...
It's like a head trip.
It's pretty good in that sense. Like, if you're going into it for the art styles, then I think you'll probably enjoy it. Because I like, as gay as it's going to sound, I really like going to new chapters and seeing Alice's new dresses.
I feel like I need to talk someone off a ledge here. It's so windy sounding.
Yeah, are you skydiving, Mark?
It's really fucking warm in Brooklyn today, so we got the...
Yeah.
I apologize.
No, it's all good.
No, but it does look really varied. Like, does the game still seem consistent with itself, though?
It's weird because sometimes it'll... The most inconsistency with the game is that it doesn't stick to the Wonderland motif.
Right.
Sometimes it will, and sometimes it'll be, like, very obvious. Then it'll go completely off the rails. Like, one chapter I may be in the Queen's Castle, and that's obviously Wonderland. Another time, you know, I'm in the Far East, and I can't tell what that's supposed to be referencing.
Yeah.
Like, the video I showed last night was samurai wasps have taken over a very Japanese village of paper crickets.
Yeah, I noticed that. I was like, what in the world is going on? Like, the House of Cards stuff made total sense, but this, I was like, what in the... And they're, like, timed, like, the weird wasps are timed with their arrow shots, and it was...
Yeah. And it's just pretty strange, because, like, either stick with the Wonderland thing or don't.
Yeah.
Because the only thing that had anything to do with Wonderland in that entire chapter was I was looking for Caterpillar. And he had a small scene at the end.
He's like, good job, bro.
It's very strange, because it feels like they just made a different game, and like, okay, maybe we can use these levels in Wonderland as well. I mean, they're beautiful levels, but either stick to the theme or don't.
Yeah.
But yeah, overall, I would not say it's a 50 to 60 hour game, but $20 probably a good price for it.
Good deal.
That goes for every game nowadays. Just wait a week. Wait a week for a price drop.
and just to finish off with Shaz of the... I'm sure people are like talking about something different, but Shaz of the Damned. Very quickly, it's really good. It's really fun to be playing a game like a shooter that's not like cover based. I think it's like with this game, I finally realize like how rare those are, and like even when you have titles like RE5, like with like the like some of the worst cover mechanics like conceived at such a point in the genre as well, for it to come at that time and be so poor. But Shadow's Damned, it's really cool and still a lot of fun, and I would recommend it to Mark. But I know it's hard. I know it's like, because I hear it's only like 8 hours, but that kind of stuff, I'm just like, whatever. Like, I just need to play this game. But
you got your fat Father's Day money for it.
Yeah, exactly. So I got a gift card, and I think I bought Zelda.
I need to knock some chick up. That's what
put some.
That's right.
That's all you need to do, and then like stick around with them until the first Father's Day, and then drop those two.
Yeah.
All right.
But and then free games, like no problem, like so little investment.
The next should be a showcast.
Yeah.
The thing that I think that needs to be mentioned that's important is like how this game deals with like a light and a dark world, and like don't freak out and be like, oh my god, there's like two versions and one's covered in slime and one's not, and you have to solve puzzles in one to affect the other. It doesn't really work like that. It's almost like in the world there's like pockets where darkness can appear or like kind of take over the environment, and you have to like work within it, and the problem is that darkness takes away from your health, so you have to like kind of like work fast or pop in and out,
right.
Or you just have to act very quickly, and it's just really good at being very tense because the game, you're so right from the start, like you have a strong weapon.
Yeah.
Like it's not like RE4 where you're like thrown into a village and you're like, I'm outnumbered, I'm outgunned, how am I going to survive this?
Right.
With this, it's like right from the start you have a shotgun and a pistol, and they're both very, very strong, like right from the get-go. You can do headshots, like one-hit kills. So what it does with these dark areas is that you lose health, like I said, and the enemies are stronger. What happens is that they get, like, a goo over them, and you can't just shoot them with regular shots. You have to shoot them with light shots. But as long as they're in that darkness, they can get the darkness back on them. So it's kind of like you have to, like, find areas of light and go to those. And it's just really fun. It just really mixes things up really well.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just not, like, a straight shooter. Like I just think that they do a really good job at having these puzzle elements. I'm only like 2 hours in, and I almost feel overwhelmed with all the things they're presenting. Like there's hands that shoot darkness that you have to go to yourself. Like you have to bring Garcia to that hand and like shove your Johnson, like the like the lantern, like your little torch, like into it, and that puts out the darkness. So in that sense, like you're far away from it, and you have to maneuver and find ways to get to it without dying, and to put it out. Other times there's like a goat head on the wall, and when you shoot the goat head with a light shot, that'll light up the area, and then the enemies become weaker again and stuff like that. So it's something that's rare, I guess. Like it's hard for them to pull it off.
Mm-hmm.
I think, like, to know that this is a shooter with puzzle elements, and especially because of how stressful those elements are, because of how weak you're losing health and you have enemies that are coming after
right.
you, and sometimes you have to pop in and out. Like there's a boss, and I won't go into huge detail, but around this environment that you're fighting him, there's pockets, and he's only vulnerable inside those pockets, so you have to make sure you're in there when he's in there at the same time, and then find like his glowing weak point and shoot it, and then that kind of makes him collapse and you can harm him further from there. So it's just really, really
harm
fun, and they do a good job
further.
Harm him further.
I like your phrasing of that.
I like it too. So that's it. Shadows of the Damned and Ocarina of Time. I haven't really played much else. I'm hoping to pick up Mercs 3D. And I guess I'm a loser for doing so. Because I'm
God,
willing
never
to
get rid
deal
of your
with
save.
The save.
If you fail miserably, you'll never get rid of it.
And I will.
I'm looking forward to EDF next, or I guess this week now.
Yeah, they push it up.
Saturday.
What is that? What is that coming out on?
360 and PS3.
Huh.
Is it a $40 budget game or a $50 budget game?
40.
See, that's a budget game. That's
my interest is peaked.
But is there any concern over the change of hands of the developers? Or I just remember when it was announced that people said it was like it just because it just seemed more polished, like it almost lost some of that flavor that people.
Well, they made a shit ton of bad decisions at first. Like they were like, oh well, we're just going to make it so you no longer have a group. You've got people. It's only going to be the same two people following you, you're not going to pick up items or anything like that. And people were like, no, that's terrible, that's not EDF.
Hmm.
But they've since gone back and changed a lot of that, and I was reading a preview from somebody who, like, what I was really waiting for is somebody who really loved EDF looking back at, or actually previewing this game and saying it's okay. And I finally did find that eventually, so I'm pretty much convinced.
Nice.
Good.
Let's see. Do we have anything else to really talk about?
We can take a break. Maybe we'll be back. Maybe we won't.
Yeah.
You'll have to take your chances. Don't look at that time.
Stay tuned and find out if we have more podcasts at the end of this.
We can just put in filler music after this. Just make it, yeah. We'll be right back.
Honestly, my theory is fuck Nintendo. What you guys have to say about that?
All right, let's see.
Interesting. Very inflammatory way to welcome us back.
Yeah, that's a bizarre way. Oh, and by the way, I'm Wes Gardner. You guys missed me at the very beginning.
Did we?
Yeah.
Well, people know who you are.
I was there in spirit.
People listening have been pretty freaked out. They're like, who's this other guy? Like, never introduced. I am scared.
It's like, I've listened for 45 episodes, and I have never once heard this guy.
Who is this man?
Get him out of here.
Tyler, I posted your picture on Gaff, and they're making fun of you. It's pretty hilarious.
No. I don't want that.
But that makes you internet famous, though, man.
I don't want to be on the internet.
Oh, here comes the photoshops.
Link.
Here comes.
See, because that was my concern. I'm like, oh no, because I was like, I'm not gonna do it anywhere else, because I'm like, people will think it's for real, and be like, what is wrong with this guy? This is gonna be mean. It's gonna be scary.
That's a great shirt, though. So.
Oh, thanks.
Who took the picture out of curiosity?
My wife. She's willing to help me with anything, so
that's
awesome.
Fantastic. That's actual
true. And she sighed
love.
Despondently, wondering what brought her to this stage in her life.
She came up with that pose. She was like, you should do one where you're like,
Arr! Oh, that's awesome.
So I was like, all right, cool. Because most of the time I was just holding above my head with an angry face.
The wall, the graffiti wall makes it is perfect.
Yeah, like you're in Chi-Town or something.
Yeah, what we're talking about
Tyler's down with the streets.
Oh, yeah, that's
something.
Where I grew up, right there. I painted that. we're talking about a picture I posted about on the site, and I'm holding. I'm faking a protest.
Great radio,
that's
by the way.
Free the Nintendo 3, and in regards to
what would the
to
Nintendo 3 be?
I really wanted to wear a rain slicker, like one of those yellow ones, to emphasize part, but I'd have to buy one, and that Bristol board caught me 50 cents. So
every
like,
good, every good Canadian should own a good rain slicker.
I know. For the snow?
Rain a lot?
Yeah, for the snow.
And
yeah,
the hockey riots.
Moose are afraid. Well,
yeah, and the hockey riots.
The problem is, though, like, bulls with red, like how they're attracted to it, like, moose are the same way with yellow. So I was risking myself holding that sign, the yellow sign of my moose. I had to be quick.
You can't buy a non-yellow. Anyways. So what does this Operation Rain tell us?
Is Operation Rainfall? Yeah.
Yep.
Rainbow.
You wrote
Rainbow?
It.
Article. I think I know things.
Operation Rain Man?
The idea was to get Nintendo to release Japanese-only JRPGs that are also getting released in Europe in America. Like Xenoblade, The Last Story, and I think the other one was Pandora's Tower, which I'm not sure why anyone really wants, but that's beside the point.
Because you don't have it.
I
think there's an exotic fruit flavor to this sort of thing, is that they know, or forbidden fruit, I'm sorry.
Exotic.
That
exotic.
Since we're not getting it, they really want it.
Yeah.
And then they won't buy it when it does come out.
So,
no, exactly.
That, I think, ultimately, that was the worry, is that the way Operation Rainfall went about it was to put lots of pre-orders on Amazon.
Yeah.
And they thought, if we show all these people that, or if we show Nintendo that all these people are pre-ordering these games... then they have to release that.
They need to realize that putting $5 down on a game doesn't make you, like, mayor of the world.
It's no monetary commitment whatsoever.
There's
you just
none.
Hit the order.
Yep.
That's a problem. I think if there were even $5, it would have worked a lot better. But
I love the logic in geek circles where we think if we spend money on something, that's creating, like, a positive feedback loop.
Yeah.
Everyone else would say, no, let's not spend money. No, let's spend money, and that'll convince them.
It's so bizarre. They're like, because then if all 6,000 of us band together, they're sure to bring it out over here. And it's like Nintendo has to look at it and be like, if we sold 6,000 copies of these fucking games, we'd be in the hole. Like, they wouldn't even break. Not only would they not sell many more than that, they wouldn't sell it to all 6,000 of those people.
See, at a certain point, you have to wonder, like, as a fan, you just don't care. You want Nintendo to take the loss regardless, because there's nothing else on the Wii this year.
I mean, okay, there'd be something to be said if they said, like, the new Pokemon games. Like, the new actual legit DS Pokemon games are not coming to America. Then I could see this big thing,
but
because...
that would never happen.
Well, exactly, because they're going to make their money back. But on these games that are very, I mean, hell, I don't even know a lot about Xenoblade... but I've been gaming for
20-some-odd years. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, I kind of know what it is. It's supposed to be sort of a dream team project, but I can tell you who's on that dream team.
It's
because
I mean,
you're ignorant.
Oh. The quality of the games is basically irrelevant, though.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
true. I mean, we want the games because we don't have them. But for what it's worth, I hear Xenoblade is really good. But I think the reason they're not bringing it, and this is going to sound like an excuse, but it's going to be, once you hear it, it's what governs everything NOA does these days. The dollar is too weak.
That's true.
When you get that dollar and you get those losses and you convert them back to yen, it results in a net loss for Nintendo.
Right.
And right now, since investors are bailing, NOA is under a lot of pressure to come in profitable. That's why you're getting only like the things that corporate mandates comes out, like the Dragon Quest games.
Yeah.
And you're getting the guaranteed sellers like Wii Play Motion, Zelda, Kirby.
And
those things that are guaranteed to sell extremely well. But nobody, there's not a huge market for JRPGs here anymore. And even if there were, the Wii software market is a wasteland.
Correct.
So even if the game was the best thing ever, like I think Sin and Punishment 2 was one of the best games of last year, it's not going to sell well. Sin and Punishment 2 capped out at like 11,000.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is horrible. It's like, that's a nightmare scenario if you're running a video game business.
Yeah. Sin and Punishment 2 just like highlights like how it's all about timing. At that time, I think they're like, maybe this can still be successful. And that's when it was like obvious that it can. So, and now we're at this point in the game, and it's like, no, that's not, they're not happening. And it's too bad, because I feel like if like NOE, if Nintendo of Europe is footing the bill for a translation in like 100 languages, then like NOA can be like, we'll take that translation and we'll release it.
There's the problem. NOA cannot use NOE's translations. There's a strict Nintendo policy that each branch has to come up with its own translation, and beyond that fact, they can't use the English voice tracks because Nintendo of Europe would have had to pay those voice actors for international distribution.
Oh, shit.
That said, could Nintendo of Europe just decline to put, like, region protections on the games? Would it mean they keep them doing that? If they
I don't
can
think
say
Nintendo corporate would have let them do that.
Yeah. I mean, if they can look at this and say, oh, hey, if we put drop the region protection, we get so many sales from America. So obviously, if they're not willing to drop that protection, then maybe that tells something about what everyone involved thinks about the sales in America.
Yeah. Because, I mean,
but as you're saying, Cameron, they wouldn't actually let them do that regardless.
Right. And, like, it's weird because with, I think, Monster Hunter 3, Monster Hunter 3 was the one that came out for Wii, right?
Right.
Okay.
Tree, but yeah.
Well, yeah, and okay, and that one did really well, but they still spent so much money on marketing that they barely broke even, right? Like, I remember reading something like that, to where they pushed so hard on marketing. It was TV commercials and big billboards and advertising things and, like, GQ, and they still barely sold enough because the dollar's so low.
See, one of the weird things about Nintendo is they're consistently inconsistent about this. They will sometimes very obviously try to push a brand beyond all losses. Like Dragon Quest right now, for example.
Right.
They're releasing Dragon Quest, or they just released Dragon Quest VI, which bombed. They're going to release Fortune Street, which is a Mario Party / Dragon Quest style board game.
Oof.
And they're releasing Dragon Quest Monsters Joker 2, which has a logo bigger than a fan base.
Yeah.
So they know that these games are not going to do well, but when Dragon Quest X comes and it does do well, like Dragon Quest IX did,
right?
They're keeping the IP alive.
Yeah, it keeps Square Enix happy and it keeps Hori making these games on Nintendo systems.
Right.
So they know that they have to put these brand things there, but they're choosing to ignore that on games like The Last Story and Xenoblade.
That's
so
good.
It's
no, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I say like, coming to this like for the experience from like the Saturn and the Dreamcast and seeing what Bernie Stolar did, I know this is not what's happening because, you know, the guys who run Nintendo of America aren't actually psychopaths like Bernie Stolar was. But I can see how people would be kind of concerned if maybe they're like trying to drown the Wii right now, trying to kill the Wii like market like prematurely so they can bring in the Wii U.
I
can see why
friend,
people
but
might think that.
By the way, I have a friend that he once gave a seething editorial about Bernie Stolar and then got into his car afterwards and noticed that the guy like driving really, really close behind him was Bernie Stolar.
Oh, shit.
So he had to like lose him.
Scram, it's Stolar.
One thing that I've heard said, and I'm like, I think that's it's an interesting point, is like how the Wii U is like this thing to bring the hardcore back, and then there's this situation where Nintendo's still insisting on the Wii being like this weird family friendly console, like with games for everyone, like instead of you know, appealing to the core. So it's like that they still don't want you, but next year, come back.
It's also an issue where like if they want to, they can always put this on the Wii U. So
yeah, that's one of the reasons I think that they're not giving publishing rights to like Atlus or XSEED.
Yeah,
which they have done in before, like games like Polarium and
Cubivore.
God, I can't remember that game MCC really like. Cubivore on the GameCube. They would give other companies the rights to those, but I think that the fact that they can someday maybe re-release these things is why they're not ceding these rights. But I think a lot of people, they want to have a boogeyman here. I see a lot of people like, oh, we need Reggie to step down.
Yeah, okay.
This is clearly his fault.
The person you want to step down is probably Iwata and have him like replaced with someone who believes in internationalization.
Yeah.
But nobody wants that because he's like a pretty genius businessman.
Right, exactly. They got Nintendo this far, so come on now.
Right, and the problem is, at the end of the day, it's a niche market on a wasteland of a software system, in a place where the dollar is absolutely bombing. If hopefully in the next year the dollar's going to get better and we're going to go back to the 2004 era where NOA would just do whatever the fuck it wanted. They spearheaded Bankai's Origins to America. They spearheaded making a new Oendon game into Elite Beat Agents. They would do a lot of things back then when the dollar was strong.
Right.
Yeah. But now, in like when we're at $1 to 80 yen, it's impossible. It's not, okay, not impossible. I still think they should just take the loss, but from their perspective, it's bad business.
Well, of course. I mean, from any perspective, that's bad business. And I mean, yeah, like you said, it's a niche of a niche of a niche. So it's like if I got upset that they didn't re-release a deluxe edition of my favorite rap group from May of 1984. You know, like, well, hip-hop's dead because they didn't release this. Like, everyone in hip-hop should retire. It's like they're getting butthurt about something so specific.
Let's don't forget, you know, games like Beautiful Joe and like product number 03 and the rest of the Clover stuff, that didn't actually help the GameCube out terribly much.
Yeah, exactly. So,
I think in the long term, this probably won't hurt them. Like, localization policies, people like to get really mad about them. But think about Sony 5 years ago. The kind of crap that they pulled. Like, they would not allow certain PSP games to come to America. They actively blocked some third-party games. Like, I remember at one point Katamari was on the bubble.
Yeah.
They didn't let Earth Defense Force come to America, so they had to release it in Europe only.
They did that after, like, Breath of Fire and stuff, too.
Yeah, Trails of Eternia couldn't come to the PSP. Yeah. And it's crazy because now no one remembers all that stuff.
Right.
They remember the one gaffe they remember for Sony localization is how they passed on Demon's Souls.
Yeah.
So I get the feeling that like everyone's saying like, oh, Wii U is going to bomb because now the hardcore gamer doesn't trust Nintendo. And I'd like to point out, first of all, that the hardcore gamer is not the type that plays JRPGs. The hardcore gamer is the type that plays Darksiders.
Correct.
The niche gamer is the one that plays JRPGs, which I'm firmly a part of.
Right.
But yeah, no one's going to remember this. No one remembered when PSN went down for a month and then 90% of them came back.
Exactly, yeah. It's the let's boycott Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. And
going along,
let's boycott Valve because of Left 4 Dead 2.
But let's all play Left 4 Dead 2 on the day Left 4 Dead 2 comes out.
Yeah.
Going along with Imran's point, I think it's like, as a Wii owner and just like just a general, you know, I love the system and et cetera. But, you know, from day one, like there's always things that are being passed over. And like and I think the quality is a bit more nebulous on those titles, like things like Captain Rainbow. I remember being excited for that. And
do you know why that didn't come over? It was one specific joke.
Oh, the weird like
go to Birdo's house and you find it's very obviously a vibrator, but it's like mosaiced over.
Yeah, yeah. So
you might have heard it was a male in this game. A male with the transgender.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so it's just stuff like that. But then now it's at a time, right? I think what makes it burn so bad is just that it's a JRPG, and those are in like such short supply right now. And it's a and like you said, like that niche is just like they're like just dying for them. Like there's little to nothing available, right. And then you have it coming from Sakaguchi, and then you're just like, oh my god, like it's just like and Molasoft, like these teams that people really respect, and we've had their previous titles, and then this is not coming. It's just like the worst timing. And I can't, but like we said, like everything's a business. Like it's hard.
I would be really mad if it weren't so easy to just mod my Wii and play European games.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I don't. And it looks like that's what I'll be doing. It's something I never dreamed of doing before. Like I just had no interest in it. Like it was because of Japanese titles. Like I don't know Japanese, and so if there was something that I could play, like there would have to be like no language barrier. But now with like these titles being translated for Europe, like okay, I guess that's what I'm gonna have to do, and I'm gonna pay $80 a game.
It's about 60 the way this shakes out at the moment.
Oh really?
It's not that bad. Europe gets cheaper games in the end, and they generally price collapse really quickly. But yeah, the reason Europe is getting these games in the first place is they can do whatever the fuck they want right now because they're stronger than the yen.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly.
In a way, doesn't have that luxury, and I think it's made them unflinchingly conservative, which is not good in the end, but I understand why they're doing what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
mm-hmm. Good time.
And also, if you're insane and collect games, then this allows you to like buy three like games that won't be released in America, but you can still sell to idiots later on. So
oh, yeah.
I firmly enjoy this. I'm
absolutely
probably gonna be buying all three of these.
keeping hot scoop tabs.
Speaking of hot scoops, that was that Supreme Court decision the other day.
Thank God. See, and here's the thing. People get worried when things go to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court people, pretty smart cookies. Like,
well, the law was bullshit from the beginning.
Yeah, I mean, it's because they're talking about violating freedom of speech based on the fact that video games are interactive. And you're like,
let's not forget that the court right now, as it stands, is also very firmly pro-business. And this would basically kill, like, a lot of businesses. Basically, it'd kill, like, the video game industry in America.
Oh, yeah. It would annoy Walmart, and I think that was the long and short of it.
Yeah.
Is that if this law were enacted, then eventually Walmart would eventually have to just stop selling those games. And if Walmart can't sell Halo or Call of Duty, a lot of stuff goes by the wayside.
Correct.
Yeah.
And the thing, what bugs me so much about it isn't the fact that it all went to the Supreme Court. I was never worried about it, because I was like, okay, the Supreme Court are people that for their careers, they chose to uphold the amendments. Like they know a little bit more about the Constitution. Yeah, they know more about the Constitution than I know more about anything ever.
That said, I'm always a little worried when anything I enjoy or personally invested in is handing over to Scalia and Alito.
No, dude.
So,
Alito was kind of a dick about the ruling.
Yeah, but
like I think he did vote to squash it, but he voted to squash it because it was too narrow.
Yeah.
All right.
But isn't Scalia the one that always has the amazing quotes?
Well, he's the angry old man.
Well, no, he's the angry old man because he's like, why are you wasting our fucking time with this? Of course, it's protected under the First Amendment. Like, he's not putting down video games. He's putting down idiots who are wasting their time. Like, a senator, like, oh, what's his name? Leland Yee? Like, California State Senator?
State Senator,
Leland Yee. Was he like San Francisco mayor?
No, I think he was. I think he's state senator because he was.
Yeah, he was a state senator that was running for mayor of San Francisco.
Okay, yeah, that sounds right. And then he was like the main sponsor of the bill, right? He was like the proprietor type thing, signed off on everything. Him and because he got it from Schwarzenegger and then did a change to it and then put it back up. But yeah, he says crap like it put the interests of corporate America before the interests of our children. And, okay, the whole thing about this is about regulating the sale of very violent video games to minors. But you're coming at it from an angle that we don't do that already. We are the most – we are by far and away the most accurate in enforcing our own self-regulation than any other industry on the planet. Any other industry. Like, by miles. And there's, like, NPD, or I don't know who does the thing, it's not NPD, but someone like that actually works for the government goes and makes sure people reclaimed by their self-regulations. If you want to be self-regulated, then self-regulate. That's their only rule. We'll let you guys handle it, but we will check in to make sure you're doing so.
Which is the entire reason why ESRB was created, because originally the government was going to step in.
Correct.
But it's kind of weird that this is all coming from, like, California and from Arnold Schwarzenegger and people who are, like, kind of tied into the way Hollywood does business. Because I think I always thought about this, it wasn't really about protecting children or anything. It was kind of like a reaction from Hollywood and television to a new medium that they desperately needed to get a clamp on before it killed their medium.
Yeah, correct. Oh, because video games are still the number one entertainment medium on Earth.
Right.
By triple. I mean, by tenfold. It's bigger than movies. It's bigger than DVD rentals. It's bigger than comic books, and it's bigger than music industry combined. So this is basically, they have a lot of money, and we want some of that too.
See, but I get the feeling this isn't the end of the story, because they didn't really establish this as an unimpeachable art.
Right.
And I found, like, actually researching this, I found a lot of people disagreeing with the ruling and agreeing with the dissenters. They're saying that they need this law because it would aid children. They're not looking at it as a slippery slope thing.
Well, the thing is, but it wouldn't aid children. It would aid parents.
It would aid parents in helping the children, I think, is the argument.
But that's the parents' job. It's not the government's job.
Well, the thing that gets me about this is we're still trying to protect children. Haven't we got beyond that?
Right, exactly. Fuck the kids. Come on now.
Fine, the SpongeBob SquarePants games, that's what the kids need to be playing. Of course the kids shouldn't be playing Call of Duty.
Yeah.
It seems like an image issue, right? I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, no, I was just going to say, I don't know, the parents should be doing a better job.
And given the tools they do. Like, you know, parents, I don't really think this is an issue for parents. I really don't, because parents, they know how the rating systems work.
But then what
it's an image issue, right? Why do we still have this image where the video games, where fucking Call of Duty, where Shadows of the Damned, where Bayonetta are targeted toward 12-year-olds?
But they're not. The average video gamer is 36
years
old.
They are, kind of. Like, look at Dead Space 2's advertising campaign. Look at Dante's Inferno's campaign.
Yeah, it's immature a little bit. You're right. And that's because of the fucking advertising campaign. But the game itself... Like, Dead Space, that's not something...
But you can't separate them from, you can't separate the game from the way they're targeted.
Right, well, then wouldn't this be against the marketing teams?
That's what I'm saying. It's an image issue, and we shouldn't be having this conversation if we had the correct image.
Right.
It's kind of dumb that we're having this conversation because of the way...
Well, there's no face for video games out there except for, like, Mario. No real person is out there.
Right.
We have the ESA, but they're kind of jackasses.
Yeah, they're wishy-washy about some stuff. But see, the weird thing is, I mean, I totally agree with you guys, but shouldn't they take the case, not to the retailers, to make it criminally, like, it's criminal to sell an M-rated game to a minor? It would be, you would serve prison time.
You can't do that, because, I mean, you can't guarantee what some... You know, a clerk doesn't pay attention one day.
But that's what the law was. They were
other sin products.
Right. They were going to basically say, okay, selling an M-rated game is the same thing as selling, like, the hardest
porn, cigarettes, and booze.
Yeah, 101 proof Grey Goose or something to a 9-year-old. And you're like, that's ridiculous. Why would then make it illegal to sell an R-rated film to a 17-year-old or someone under 17?
And that's why the case failed. Exactly. That's actually Alito when he a lot of people saying that Alito wrote a roadmap to get the bill passed, but it seems like when I'm looking at, like, Alito is actually saying this is the ludicrous steps you have to go to make this work.
Yeah.
And if you do bring all these other guys in, those other guys are also going to join the fight, and there's absolutely no way you can win against all these other corporations.
Right.
So give up the fight.
And basically, it would also by proxy mean that the illegal activities happening in a video game are actually illegal. So if you were playing Grand Theft Auto and stole a car, you would be tried for Grand Theft Auto. Like, that's fucking absurd. Like, I'm so glad they were like, this is a waste of time, get out of our court.
See, the weirdest thing about this is the way they were framing this law is the ESRB it's not banning the sale of mature games. It's banning the sale of violent games.
And who makes that call? Yeah.
Not the ESRB, apparently. Like, the government would have to, like, the ESRB would rate it, then the government would also re-rate it. And they may disagree,
And then
classic example is, I mean, I guess it's hypothetical, but Halo, which a lot of people think it should have been a T-rated game in the first place.
Right. Because it's not.
And if the government then went by and like, well, we think it's, you may think it's T-rated, but there's this scene here that we definitely think is M-rated.
Yeah.
So it may be rated T, 18 plus only.
And see,
which is just immediate kiss of death for any game.
The thing is, I know exactly what would happen, is if this law did pass exactly how it was written, 2 years from now, California would want to try to get a law saying, well, all this taxpayer money is going to make sure that we don't sell M-rated games to minors because you guys have to make a committee to look at every fucking game and see if it has extreme violence in it. Like, that's taxpayer money, and that's a BS thing to do. Like, especially when the dollar's so low anyway, you really want to do this frivolous type of spending to where we're going to pay these 12 guys to play video games all day and see if they're violent.
Well, the state of California can't pay anything right now, so
yeah.
What happened is that commission would never get built and the games would never be able to be sold because
Correct.
There's no one to man the commission.
That's basically, they just want it to stop, and this is, once again, senators and people in the local government wanting to push their morality to get a few more votes.
And that's another reason it wouldn't work, is because it's for California only.
Right.
Like, you can't have a business where you have to just repackage everything for California.
Yeah, then it won't be a business.
You actually kind of do. Like, in the car industry, like, all the emission standards for the nation are based on California because it's impossible to just cater to California stuff. It was also.
The other option is just not released in California, which I don't think they would take either.
Right.
Right. Well, there was also, it kind of goes back to the Texas school textbook controversy, where Texas was basically wanting to cripple science programs nationwide because they had so much buying power over their textbook programs. It's not like McGraw-Hill is going to sit there and just write one for Texas and then write another book for the rest of America.
Right.
So, yeah, that's actually what would happen. They would just blanket it all over the nation.
Oh, but it's such a – oh, I'm so glad it just got shut down super early. And put the interest of corporate America before the interest of our children? What the fuck? Like, what does that even mean? That's not even a thing.
Like, that's sort of what they did, but the argument that these guys were making was really shitty.
He's going for this protect the kids line, and that doesn't mean anything. Think of the children. What does that mean? That's an empty statement. Think of it like it's basically saying, think of the kids, think of the kids. It's like, that doesn't mean anything.
It's weird that there's an established thought that violent video games will negatively affect a child.
Right, and it's scientifically proven otherwise, but...
But that's not the way everyone perceives it.
Right.
I'm not sure where that came from. Like,
because
maybe
the industry
doesn't
fight the argument. It's the messaging thing.
Yeah.
There's no one out there... They need a lot. Lobby, basically, is what we're trying to say.
Yeah, or they
have a lobby. It's just a bad lobby.
Yeah, it's just a really dumb, poorly constructed lobby.
Because they don't have any money, so they can't afford to actually lobby other politicians.
The only thing I would say is if they were to go against, if they were actually going to make a case against the marketing bureaus. Of course, they won't, because that's where the money is. But make it for that, so they don't market it to underage kids. I mean, that's easy, and that nips it right in the bud. You can still sell whatever you want to whoever you want, keep it self-regulated at a retail standpoint on a store-to-store basis. Like, if I ran a movie theater, I could sell R-rated movie tickets to a 7-year-old, and I'm not breaking the law because I choose if I want to do it. It's just much less of a headache if I do abide by it. So, yeah, it's a whole thing of, like, people that think if you break an end-user license agreement, you broke the law, which always makes me giggle. They're like, oh, you could go to – oh, you better not rip that tag off that mattress. You'll go to prison. Like,
to play devil's advocate for a second, Wes,
yeah.
What's the difference between, like, the actual number difference in fines between selling a game early and selling an M-rated game to a minor?
Oh, let's see. It would be – I think it's actually fairly close. I want to say early street date breaking is $5,000 per copy per store. And God, I actually don't know the one for the minor.
See, that's, I feel like they might have a decent argument there, is that they shouldn't criminalize this sort of thing.
Right.
But maybe actually increasing fines so it is a bigger deal.
Yeah, and I'd be all for that because only an idiot would sell an M-rated game to someone under 17. Like, I mean, just working in the business for so long, I can tell you that's the first thing you do. Because the moment you do sell it, and it's not even for a store will take a big hit for $5,000 or however much, you're just going to hear about it 10 seconds after you do the sale whenever they walk and see, hey, mom, look what I got. Like, oh, that dude let you fucking buy Grand Theft Auto? I'm going to have a word with him. It's a headache. It's the worst. It makes your great day a bad day automatically.
Next time, the Nitrobeard Beardcast. Will Grand Theft Auto 6 cause your child to be a penguin raping gecko rider?
I hope so. Oh Christ!
Is Grand Theft Auto 6 the new Grand Theft Auto 5?
Is the Supreme Court the new Supreme Court? Find out next time.
The Nitrobeard Beardcast.
That's episode 45, guys. Any final thoughts? Big shout outs? We got to mark our hypening. Hypening? I just made up a word.
The hypening.
The hypening.
Dragon Goose bugging me to join Left 4 Dead. Let's do that.
High Bearder. The hypening.
That's the name of
I'm going to play a 30-second hero. So I don't know what you guys are doing.
Half-Minute Hero is really good, man.
God, is it 30-second hero, half-minute
it's
hero,
half minute.
What? God,
half minute. Half minute.
Damn it.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, I'm so embarrassed. 30 seconds. God.
I can't fucking... I hate names. I just hate names with a passion. It's just...
It's okay.
I should be... I don't think I'm a dumb person. I just...
You know what? Don't say names anymore, and then when we talk about what we're playing, we have to guess what you're playing.
Yeah, you just explain it. It's like Pictionary.
Playing a shooter, there's cover, the bad guys are not
right,
from Earth.
So, be like, so real,
win back.
The real thingy quick. With the stuff?
Yes. No, I was going to say, so not this weekend, but next weekend, the weekend after that, the 16th and 17th, I might be meeting up with Mark in New York.
Oh, shit.
Whoa.
Bitches.
What should we do?
I don't know. Where are you going to be at that point in time? I mean, there's...
Nintendo World Store!
Be forcing Mark into the Nintendo World Store with a gun.
I want him to, like, put one of those cameras on where, like, I'm his eye so I can... And I'll be like, oh, now I want to...
So fucking boring.
I figured as much. Yeah.
I went to New York, and in 2 days I went there 3 times. The top floor. The first time I went, they closed the top floor because Chris Brown was nearby, and this is before he beat up people. And all these girls were wearing like Chris Brown shirts, like I Heart CB. And then like they closed the top floor because they're all going up there to try to get a better view of him.
Oh, wow.
And then I think so. I was stuck on the Pokemon.
You're just punching ladies left and right.
Well, anyways, so if you come up with any genius ideas on what we should do,
you're gonna be around like what Rockefeller Center at that point in time? I think you said when you come down with your parents.
I have no idea. I mean, we'll be somewhere. We're going to see Blue Man Group.
Nice.
So that's like the one thing we're doing, and we're doing some other stuff. But I'll be able to break off, and we can do something.
All right. Let's keep
so
it
yeah. In. So if you think of some genius thing that we should do for Nitro Beard, tell us. Otherwise, it'll just. Maybe Mark and I will sit around smoking pipes and
kiss. That'll be what people want you to do.
Did you say tits? What'd you say?
Oh, kiss. KISS.
Oh, no. All right, guys. I gotta go.
Okay. We're out. It's been episode 45. Right. Thanks, guys.
See you guys.
Bye.
Bye.
I'll never hear the truth. My cup will be empty cause you'll never steal my youth. I was born to live beside you, but you're trying to stop me grow. Now I'm living on the run from all this hatred you now love. You said it only rains from the heavens above. Speed up darkness like darkness has begun.
Downloading 30 Second Hero. Half Minute Hero, rather.
Yeah!
Baby.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Get it, girl.
Oh, yeah. You're my Half Minute Hero.
You know it.